text someone to get an invite.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, would you please rise for the singing of the American National Anthem? We'll get to that later on. It was awesome. And we don't have Ed this week. We're filling a void. So we usually start with movie of the week, one watch. Everybody knows the rules. The professor's going to got big shoes to fill. You can't do Ed math. You've got to make it your own there, Thomas.
All righty. Hey there, podcast fans. Are you ready to show off your love for the 1973 podcast? We've got over 20 different designs of t-shirts and hoodies that capture the essence of classic stuff. Whether you're a fan of the shows or just love that retro feel, we've got something for everyone. From bold prints to subtle nods to your favorite personalities, each piece is made with top-notch quality and that timeless style you crave. Perfect for lounging at home or making a statement out and about. And don't wait. Our collection is flying off the shelves faster than you can say, don't be cheap, buy a shirt. Visit us now at bonfire.com and grab your favorites before they're gone.
All right, so the Phantom, he had the pick of the week. So we're going to start with your pick. Take it away, Phantom. American History X.
We need to start with this one. To me, like, this is a great movie. I like the way they filmed this movie. I like the deep meaning behind it, where you get the main character that's like a neo-Nazi. He's kind of been somewhat brainwashed from like his role models, whether it's the Kreese character or later on they show his father. But I like how they show like all the old stuff from the past in black and white, and then the more modern stuff was in color. But it's like, you know, as he goes to prison for the murder of the two African American guys, he kind of finds his way a bit while he's in jail. Not that everything that he learned or everything that he believed, he starts to make, you know, there's good in all kinds of people. So fast forward 3 years later, he gets out. Now his brother, who he's the role model to his brother, is now following in his footsteps. And now he wants out, but he needs to find a way for him to get out. And then, ironically enough, his brother ends up dying because of kind of what he force fed the family or whatever. But overall, this is it's like a top 10 movie for me. I'm going 9.5. I absolutely love this movie. Super, super.
Well, Phantom, everybody's entitled to their opinion. That's a high, high score.
I love
but there's nothing wrong with it. This is, we're slowly transitioning over to deep in the weeds. We're not there yet, but we're in the movie collection genre. You know, like I said, every week it's great because if you haven't seen these movies, you go back and you watch them, and maybe you watch them with a more mature eye now.
Oh, definitely.
You know, different things happen in society, or they happen through the course of time in your life, and maybe it's a 20-year gap, maybe it's a 10-year gap, maybe it's a 5-year gap between seeing these movies and really putting some thought into watching it. You know, you're not just watching it as background kind of TV in your house. You watch it to absorb as much as possible. So yeah, I went back and watched it, and you know, I can't add much other than this movie has that same kind of falling down for me with Michael Douglas, where it's you're an older person looking at it now with things that are going on, and you try to put everything in perspective, and to just trying to hit on points that you didn't hit, Ryan, without getting too long-winded with it. The cast is, at the time, they were like it guys, Ed Norton and Edward Furlong. And what a difference years make, especially for Edward Furlong. I mean, here's a guy that came off of Terminator and was like a really hot actor and then went into roles like this and kind of in obscurity now. But yeah, I'm going to not score it as high, but I'm going 8.5 on this one. Right in the middle. It's a must own. Yeah, definitely very story driven, which I love, and a very memorable part with the curb. I think that's the one takeaway from this movie that I think everybody remembers is gonna switch it to the professor. Thomas, what do you got?
Well, first of all, Aaron, our number one fan, gave it an 8-8. He said he thought Edward Norton was fantastic in it. I'm not going to go quite as high. I thought it was pretty good. I'm trying to base this off of how I've scored the other scores, other movies, and I don't think it was better than some of the other movies that we've had. So I wasn't a fan of the ending. I just wasn't. I mean, they could have done it a few different ways, but I thought it was good enough. I'm going to give it a 7-7. Just keep it where I got to even out for Mr. from a Phantom. Phantom went high, I'm going low, so we can balance it out.
You never got to turn in the paper, Tom. You never got to turn in the
funny thing is reading up on this, like you were talking about the cast, I guess Joaquin Phoenix was offered the role that Edward Norton plays, and he turned it down. So I'm kind of glad he did, because I think it worked out better with Edward Norton, even though from what I've read and what you've heard about Edward Norton now, he's kind of difficult on the set. Every set he's been on, he's had problems with the directors and rewrites, and I guess that's what happened with this movie. And I guess to the point where the ending was rewritten, and the director and the screenwriter were so pissed off about how it came out and that the studio picked his side, that they've kind of disowned themselves from this movie. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But yeah, that's what I gave it.
All right, Bradford.
Yeah,
You
this was
are
another one of those movies where the boys came over after school or on the weekend one day. Same thing with Boondock Saints, and they were like, "Bro, you got to watch this movie." Before I could even object, they're popping it in the VCR. This movie was brutal. Like, it was so disturbing and brutal. From the curb stomp to the his relations, his forced relations in prison, to the ending, man. Like, it's just a brutal, sad movie. Like, nothing went right for and when I left watching this movie as a kid, I didn't know if I was leaving this movie a newly like minted racist, or if I was leaving this movie like anti-racist. I didn't know what I was supposed to believe. I needed some direction, man. I needed someone to point me in the right way to go. And then the ending of this movie kind of sealed it. I was like, I'm not, this obviously the outcome for racists is never is not a equality outcome or a path I want to venture down. But I love this movie, man. It is just one of those movies that's Marvel movies ever when he made that Hulk movie. Like, what are you thinking, buddy? Not as high as the Phantom, not as low as the Professor. I actually was gonna give the exact same score that Andy said, so I'm gonna just one up him. I'm gonna give it an 8.6 because this movie is in like my top 15. Like, if I sat down and listed out favorite movies, this one definitely makes my cut. I love this movie. It's a good movie.
But before we get to Shaggy, because it is his pick for next week, as these podcasts are coming together, we're learning a lot about the Phantom and Brad having a connection. That top 15 favorite movies, top 10 favorite
Yeah.
movies, Cowboys fan. It's just going on and on and on. So,
Yeah.
Shaggy, you got to finish the book on this one.
I mean, it was definitely a think piece. Like, definitely got you to think about things in your life. Like, you talk about the cast, you always had Beverly D'Angelo as the mom. You had I just had a brain fart. Who was it? There's so
Elliot
Stacy
Gould.
Keach. Stacy Keach, was Stacy Keach, one of the Keaches,
Yep.
one of the
Yeah.
brothers. So yeah, the cast alone, and yeah, that big dude who's lost like 200 pounds now. He was in the
Ethan Suplee.
yeah, he lost like 200 pounds. He's like Matt, he's as strong as an ox now. I'm closer to where the professor is. I'm gonna give it like a 7.9. I like the movie, but I'm definitely not like, if it's on, I'll watch it, but I'm not like, oh, I have to watch this movie. But definitely think piece, got you think about things in your own life and stuff, and how would you react in situations.
And your pick for next week,
Oh
Shaggy.
yeah, I'm
You're
going
on
with a
deck.
classic. I'm going with a classic. You can find, unlike Ed's pick where we couldn't find it anywhere, you can find this on Tubi for free. You watch Paul Newman's Cool Hand Luke.
Cool Hand Luke. I don't think I've seen that movie.
That's a great
Oh,
one.
it's a good one. Very quotable. Guns N' Roses sampled it on Use Your Illusion.
That's right.
Really, really cool. Brad, this is going to be a good one. You probably will enjoy this.
Brad, there's a few people from Slapshot in it.
This is
Oh,
true.
geez.
Paul Newman.
Paul Newman movie.
Paul
Who doesn't like
Newman.
Paul Newman? So, Professor, mark that down. Next week's homework is Cool Hand Luke.
Hey, did Mouth of the South give you a score?
That son of a bitch, he did not.
That son of
All
a gun.
right. Ed called into me and he gave it a 9.9.
Well, he's dropping the ball. Shaggy,
the
you gotta poke him on the feed and say, what is
I was
wrong
really
with you?
shoveling today. I was a little busy.
Hey, well, the thing about it is, boys, right? That's the Ed thing. The thing about it, what's that finger up? Oh,
As he's
bless
watching
him.
TV, he's the only guy on the podcast watching TV while we're doing the podcast.
That's because of the wrestling. Now he's not on this week, and there ain't shit going on in wrestling, so we're going to be cruising right through it in 5 minutes.
Right? And I actually want to talk hockey this week, and Ed's not here to enjoy it. What a
Thomas,
bum.
what do you got for a final score?
8-5.
8-5,
Nice.
respectable. Respectable, 8-5. That's
That's
what
heartbreaking. That's heartbreaking.
you know.
What?
You know it's the right score because that was my score, and that's what it ended up for an average. So,
I think it's rigged.
It's an
Not rigged.
8.5 on IMDb, so we're right where we need to be.
Fantastic. So, we're gonna move away from one watch. Everybody knows the rules, and we're gonna go into our talk about the road to WrestleMania. Now, before we get going with this, now I say put out what I want to talk about this week. What Tom always asks, he wants to be prepared. We're going to talk about the second pick into the Hall of Fame. In my view, the worst pick that probably, I'm going to say top five worst picks they've ever made for the Hall of Fame. Michelle McCool, the current wife of The Undertaker. Very, very, very disappointed in this pick. But I want to hear from look at Thomas. He knows. He knows. I gotta go to the man. The butthole is so tight for Hall of Fame inductees. The Phantom. What do you think?
Ah, give it a thumbs down.
that is
Let me ask you. What do you think of this pick?
terrible. Like, I didn't know you're getting into the Hall of Fame by who you're married to.
That's it.
Is that a, that is that is that a favor or what? That, I mean, of all the divas that they had come through. Not that they deserve to be in, but she's even lower than them. I can't believe it. When I saw it, I was like, serious? Yeah, that's terrible. I was surprised that she, I guess I saw a thing that she was like, was she like the first diva champion or something? Or one of these first, I have no idea. But it's like, where's the fame? We could just start with that. It's the Hall of Fame. Like, how many people like go like, I never even heard of her before.
Shaggy, when I posted,
Jackie, jump in.
I literally was like, I have no idea who this person is. Like, I thought it was to the stage now where we're getting people in the Hall of Fame that when I didn't watch, now I don't watch wrestling, I don't know who they are. I'm like, am I that old now that everybody I thought would be in the Hall of Fame should be in already? But obviously not. Like, I don't remember this woman at all.
There's nothing to remember. I mean,
Nope.
to me, it was during the Uber PG era. I mean, there's nothing really I can add to it. There's no highlights that to me stand out about her at all. None whatsoever. Thomas, you want to save me from this?
I was gonna say, if she's a Hall of Famer, every single girl that's wrestling now is gonna be in the Hall of Fame
Yeah.
because they're all way more famous than her.
It's absolutely horrible that she's in. I mean, she only wrestled for 7 years, I think. I mean, that to me, you can't do a career. First year or two is basically working your way up. So to me, she's only held the belt, I think, between the two belts, she held it four times. To me, she has no business being in there. And it's exactly what you guys said, where it's who she's married to. They're trying to keep him happy. And
You gotta when these people pop up for the Hall of Fame, I mean, especially being loving the wrestling growing up and seeing the people that they've snubbed for the Hall of Fame. I mean, however you look at a guy like Ivan Koloff, where I talk about him every year, should be in the Hall of Fame. If you're putting Michelle McCool in, what does that say about guys like that? I mean, just going into this season, that I wait for this talk just for situations like this. It's wrestling blasphemy if you're trying to do a legit Hall of Fame when you it's just I don't know how you base a 7-year career on a Hall of Fame run. It's not like good.
Is Stacy Keibler in?
Yes.
She should be.
I was gonna say she's 1,000 times more. I didn't think she was, but I was gonna say she's 1,000 times more famous than her.
Her and Tori Wilson.
Yeah, they went in
Kelly
the same
Kelly, you
year, I
name it.
believe.
Throw them all in now.
Who else got in this year?
That's it so
It's
far.
there's only two so far. It was Triple H and then her. So they what they do, Shaggy, is every year going into WrestleMania because they have the Hall of Fame induction the night before WrestleMania. So they kind of let one out every week up until WrestleMania. So gives us good content to talk about. But thoughts on this? I know you got to tear it up.
I mean, I had to Google it just like you guys did. And what I saw was the Undertaker's wife. I was like, okay. And they even did a big release announcement where Triple H cut in on ESPN. And even she was like, what, me? Like, she wasn't even, she didn't even act surprised. But definitely 100% because it's Undertaker. I think she's also doing that new show, The Legends and Greats or whatever. It's like that training show on A&E or something. I think she's doing some parts on that. So she's like back in the biz and this is how they thanked her or something. I really don't know. You guys know my feelings. I think the Hall of Fame needs to be vacated and they need to start over. Like, first of all, you can't have people that aren't actual wrestlers in it. Like, if you weren't in the WWE, WCW, WWF, whatever, you're out. Like, period. I don't, Muhammad Ali, the only exception I would say would be like Mr. T, because he kind of had a big role here and there. But like Muhammad Ali, Trump, all these other guys, like I don't think they should be in there. No other sport puts non-sports people right into their Hall of Fames, man. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I also don't like how they let active wrestlers like Rey Mysterio, who is a Hall of Famer, but how can you be inducted to the Hall of Fame but still be on an active roster, dude? That stuff just blows my mind. So the Hall of Fame is a joke to me. It's never, I've never taken it that serious, to be honest. So I actually never even paid attention to the Hall of Fame till I started the podcast with y'all.
I think it's just I don't know how to explain it, but it just bothers me from the fact of always trying to make people take you serious and you keep doing stupid stuff just to bring it back to silliness. I guess in a grand scheme of things, if you wanted to be semi legit, then treat everything legit. I mean, it's just I don't know. I don't know how to explain it any better than it's not a Hall of Fame when Coco Beware and now Michelle McCool is your raw measuring stick. I mean, it's
At
terrible.
this point, I think you can only just let one person in a year and really throw in the deserving person, throw them all their flowers, like make a big deal about it.
Yeah, and I think too, Ryan, the problem that they have is the format that they use where it has to be one of this every year, one of that, and one of this, and one of that. So it's a celebrity, it's a woman, it's maybe a
So
tag
clown.
team. I mean, going back to when they originally did it, the first year that it wasn't televised, I think it was like 93. It was Andre that went in the first year, and that was it. So I from there, it should have been Andre and then Bruno and then guys like that, and not. If you don't have 20 guys that need to go in, don't put 20 guys in. I mean, just make that night before about that one person and celebrate that person going in, whether it's a tag team, whether it's a a female wrestler or whether it's, somebody epic. So
I think they shoot themselves by doing like five per year, because now that's the every year that's what their expectation is to put in five. So it's almost like they always like to try to have like one headliner, and then I don't want to say they're trying to throw people a bone, but I think they're trying to like make money off of former person, get them in that Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Fame, but the Legends thing, and maybe sell a couple of t-shirts off somebody's name. Maybe somebody was a fan of them back in the day, but like we've said before, if you're not a main event person, if you've never been a main event person, you shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Nope.
You can't. In the old days, the belts mattered. Like you could say, oh, if you were like world champion, because you would have that belt for like years. Once I had that attitude ever, every week on Raw, that world title was moved around. I mean, it was moved around probably between like maybe six or seven different guys. Like, well, for the most part, anybody that was like somewhat of a main event to touch that belt, where that wasn't the case. Like when we were kids, you had guys like Rick Rude, Jake the Snake, all these guys that never had that world title, but it's crazy.
So let's stay on the wrestling topic. A big surprise on NXT last week. Ricky Starks shows up. Bradford, what'd you think?
I mean, not the like the biggest or the most controversial like signing they could have done, but man, when he walked out, I didn't even see this like on any of the dirt sheets. I had no idea he was
But
even.
that's good though. That's
Yeah.
what we talk about.
Yeah. So I've been so focused on what's his name? Aleister Black coming over that like I didn't even see the Ricky Starks thing. And then he came out on NXT and I was like, no, like first of all, that's awesome. Like anytime you get a somebody from another brand that come in, like that's just big news. But man, like AEW is like they've been vultured a lot in the last year. Andrade coming back, obviously Cody, Punk, Ethan Page, Sean Alexander. Wait, yeah, is that his name? Yeah. Who else? A bunch of them.
His
And
girlfriend, Jade Cargill.
yeah, and Jade Cargill, man, who's been MIA, but I'm like, even their mid-card talent is leaving. And if you remember, what killed WCW, that was one of the factors was, they've lost all their mid-card talent because it all went to the competition.
Yeah, and
So
you
not
saw
like a huge thing, but still it's exciting. So
what they did with them when they grabbed Guerrero and Jericho and Malenko and Ian Perry Saturn, yeah, but you saw what they did with them. They put that machine behind the guys that could go, Benoit too, and yeah, it just
RIP.
took them to a whole another level. So it's I'm always curious to see like the Ethan Page thing, how they took a guy that was lower than mid-card in AEW and how they elevate them a certain way and get them, more recognized and probably a bigger payday when they go and do signings and things like that because, they're more mainstream. So yeah, it's definitely fun to watch when it's a surprise. Brad, also staying on NXT, review of the pay-per-view.
It was pretty good. Like I keep telling people, we was out in the yard yesterday, and I was telling Lucas, like, hey man, Vengeance Day started, and his friend who loves wrestling, who came over for the Royal Rumble, was like, ah, I don't care about that. That's NXT. I was like, what? You're missing out, bro. Bro, was this like as big as like the Royal Rumble or WrestleMania or any of the other big PLEs? No. But I actually enjoy watching NXT, man. Javon Evans versus Ethan Page. Go watch the highlights. It was a banger of a match. Ethan Page is cooking right now, man. I don't know why he wasn't in the Royal Rumble. Trick Williams versus Eddie Thorpe strap match. That was kind of but Trick Williams, probably the only person more over than Trick Williams right now is Jey Uso, and they're kind of fumbling him. I feel like right now, I don't know if he pissed somebody off or whatever, but that match was so-so. Again, I don't know why Trick wasn't in the Royal Rumble. The tag team match was forgettable. Stephanie Vaquer, my girl, the next Rhea Ripley. She won the Women's North American Championship in a banger of a match. Oba Femi defended in a triple threat match. Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, mid-card guys, kind of jobbers. But even my son noticed when anytime they're in the ring and somebody hits them or lays a finisher on them, man, the way they oversell, it's so comical that it's entertaining. And I just love watching those dudes wrestle. So Obafemi, also big ass dude. Don't know why he wasn't in a Royal Rumble. But that was a great match. And then, of course, there was a fatal four way for the women's was the main event, though. And I was like, why is this the main event on a PLE? And then I watched the match. I was like, that's why. It was incredible. Julia retained. It's weird that they brought Julia and Vakarin, and now they're both are wearing belts like right away. But they did the same with Ethan Page when he came in. He was the NXT champ within seconds. And then he lost it again. But anyway, it was a great PLE. If you guys have time, highly recommend go back and rewatch it. It was fun.
I watched some of it. That was all right.
Yeah, it was fun.
The thing to go back to Stark, Ricky Starks. I thought that thing, I thought it was flat.
Yeah.
Like they bring him out in like a studio audience and like I don't know, like 1,000 people in the crowd, and he's in the crowd too. Like they even bring him into the ring. Comes out, gives like a little bit of a promo. Like, he had some people chanting his name at first, and then it was like the announcers like weren't really even putting him over either. I thought it was like they never even said his name, so I'm like, is he even going to be Ricky Starks, or are they going to give him a WWE name?
Ooh, you're right.
So I don't know. I don't really like the way they brought him in, but I've told Andy this before. Like a lot of these guys that come from AEW, yeah, it's nice to say that you made it back to WWE. That's where you want to be. But they ain't gonna do shit with those guys. They're forever gonna be. Ethan Page is never gonna be in the WWE as a top guy. Yeah, I like him. I think he's a good wrestler. And same thing with Ricky Starks. But if they're bringing you, if you're that good, they're gonna bring you straight into WWE. Then why are they gonna put you in NXT? To me, it's like going from a secondary federation to the minor leagues of the big one. So you still haven't really made it. Well, I mean, maybe they'll prove me wrong and they'll kind of advance from there, but I don't know. I wasn't too impressed with the pop or the setup of it. Almost was like he was there and they were like, "Hey, you want to come out in the
Yeah.
crowd tonight? All right."
Yo, they made him cut a promo on his Twitter or something too. Like he didn't even get to like actually cut a promo when they released him. He did it like the next day from social media.
Tom, you want to add anything to the wrestling before we move on?
A couple like little news things. I don't know if you guys saw, but they just named Road Dogg co-head writer for SmackDown. So that's three of the DX guys now that are in control of the things. And then we were talking about it, a team that we were talking about possibly deserving to be in the Hall of Fame, Demolition. They just signed Legends deals with the WWE. So that could be a precursor to them be going in this year.
Save it, save it, save it, save it. Because if it happens, we're going to talk about it. Save it, save it. They had a pending lawsuit, I guess, since the early 90s. And that's the, and of course, Vince, me and Vince, he's kind of carried a grudge a little bit. He'll be the first one to tell you, never say
That
never, but
lawsuit
it's, what's
was
that?
that lawsuit the Road Warriors against them? That wasn't the lawsuit? All right. It must be a different lawsuit.
Copyright infringement. But as the plot thickens, you got to give this year's headliner Triple H a lot of credit for mending these fences for guys that, geez, I know you're gonna say your piece about Demolition, but if Michelle McCool's in, let's all put in the
Yeah.
Flowers of Pain,
You can't judge by who else is
right?
in. Everybody's in on their own merit. Ooh, at
Right now, Ted, I see these phones ringing.
least he had a wrestling figure.
Thomas, we're gonna move away from the wrestling. I know Shaggy's chomping at the bit to talk more wrestling, but let's go with Tom's Shitty Picks. Take it away, Thomas.
All righty. Tom's Shitty
Thomas.
Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything is brewed in-house, including their hard iced teas, their beers, vodka sodas, and their hard seltzers. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. All right. I'll do it quick this week. Super Bowl was last week. I hit the one thing. I picked One of the X were the X Factors. Worthy had a really big game. Granted, it was in a lot of it was in garbage time, but hey, doesn't matter. I still hit on it, and I picked the winner. But that's no biggie there. I mean, the game was itself was pretty boring. This week, I'm changing my pick. I think a while back I had picked the Four Nations, and I had picked, I believe, Sweden to win the thing. I might be mistaken. I might be talking about the junior tournament, but I'm going to actually go with the US to win the finals. I just think out of all four teams, they've got the best goalie, and I think goalie's going that's what's going to be the key factor that's going to win it right there.
So let's get into this. The game itself did not disappoint. The fans during the national anthem were rocking. They were over the top during those fights. You cannot disagree about that. In Montreal, they had all the fanfare. I love the medallions that they gave everybody, that LEDs that flash with the music. They must all be on a certain, like, something sequence that it just fantastic to watch on TV. I'm glad they let the pros back in. It's the precursor for the next Olympics. Shaggy, what'd you think?
That was an unbelievable game. I mean, that was, if you don't watch wrestling, like that roped you in. I was joking around with Brad earlier how he's like, oh, talk about the fights. Like, it's like me. Like, I watch NASCAR for the crashes. I hate to say it. I don't care who wins. I just want to see the car crash. I'm like, if you don't watch
Oh.
hockey, you want to at least see the fights. I'm like, but no, that was a great game overall. Yeah, I was pretty impressed. Obviously, the first 10 seconds was unbelievable, but the rest of the game was pretty cool too.
Yeah, even in regular NHL games, the last time that they've had three fights in 9 seconds, with they said it's been over 20 years since that's happened.
Yeah, I mean,
Phenomenal. And not they weren't light by any means. Those weren't there was some meaning behind them punches. So
that second fight, the haymakers, holy God.
was all pre-planned too. They had they
Yeah.
Chuck said afterwards that they had talked it over on a group chat.
Yep.
I mean, the re if you're on social media today, or since that game yesterday, there is a ton of reels out there that people have made. Just And it's all pro US. I mean, of course, people got some kind of pride right now. So they advance till Thursday. They're going to play still on tomorrow, but the finals are Thursday night in the Garden. Well, I mean, the tickets for that are,
Can we imagine?
yeah,
600
they,
beans for the cheap seats. Yeah.
yep. Thomas, thoughts on that game and Team USA as a whole?
It was a great game. My wife and I watched it, and she couldn't stop. She had a group chat going with a bunch of teachers, and they were all watching. And I mean, so they did what they planned. They got the people that who aren't huge hockey fans to tune in and watch. But
Yeah.
I thought it was a great game. Team Canada's got a lot of pressure on them. I mean, being the sport that where the being the country where the sport was built off of, they just have a lot of pressure. They've had a lot of pressure on themselves for a while, and the way the team was built, they don't have a lot of grit on the team. They don't. I mean, the U.S. man, the U.S. built the system, and they just were smart how they built the team.
I'm going to go to our newest, biggest hockey fan, Bradford. I want your thoughts and your commentary on that game.
I gotta say, when you guys were blowing up the group chat, I was like, I do this every time hockey's on TV anyway. Like, I never know if it's worth tuning into or not because you homers get so erect whenever hockey is on. So, but I did tune in, and man, it's the ultimate talk shit, get hit. I mean, just three fights, banging and clanging. And the whole entire, is it a match or a game? Or a,
Game.
what do you call it? A game? The whole game was just turned up. I mean, they were laying some of the biggest hits. I mean, I've only watched a handful of hockey matches, but like they were the biggest hits I've ever seen. And who's that Connor McDavid guy? Because he was a freaking crybaby, bro. Is he always like that?
He's Canadian.
Not really.
Jeez, Louise, man. I was like, dude, just get hit, get up, keep playing. Like everyone else was getting slammed. They were getting up and either, throwing hands or getting back into action. And he's like just doing crybaby shit. But anyway, that was a fun one, man. I was talking to my oldest Tristan, who was like, he is the biggest hockey fan, dude. So we talked for 20 minutes tonight just about that. And so I'm looking forward. He told me the next one, USA is playing Sweden. He said, not really worth watching. He said, look forward to the next one because USA has basically punched their ticket to the championship. So that's when I'll be tuning in. So I'm
Thursday
looking
night,
forward to it,
Brad.
man. What's that?
Thursday night.
Thursday?
Yep. Thursday night at
Yeah.
8 o'clock. That Canada's still going to get past Finland, and wouldn't it be funny if the Finns give them a how's she going and send them packing?
Hope they do.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It was
That'd be
awesome.
great.
It reminded me of the that really, really, really awesome hockey movie. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Miracle.
Miracle Upshot.
No, the Mighty Ducks 2 when America faced off against Iceland.
The
He's a king
series,
eater.
the knuckle puck.
They were Team USA and they had to bring out the
Flying
Ducks
V.
to win.
A phantom, we gotta save us.
Man, I tell you what. I was out of my head watching this. This shit was going on, and I'm texting Tom going, "How would you like to be sitting down next to me in this game if we were in Montreal?" It was awesome. I loved every minute of it. The fights, I like the Kachuk brothers. You figure those guys are coming into this. They already know they want to scrap. They're products of the old man. The old man was the exact same way as them. And you figure they come into the game, they already know they're fighting. But the Canadian guys didn't know they were fighting. So they line up, and you got Matthew Tkachuk lining up with Hagel. Hey, you want to fight? Of course the kid's gonna want to fight. Never mind, with the Trump stuff. And like it's already the biggest rivalry in like probably sports. Then you throw the Trump stuff in there and get the fans all fired up, booing the anthem and all that. To start that game like that with that amped up crowd, phenomenal. You're never gonna be able to match that. I'm curious how it's if they make it back, if they make it into the finals in Boston, can they even match that? Can they match that game? I don't know if they can. The only thing that might work, and I think in Canada's favor, is they got a full week of watching the reels just like we are, and they're prideful, so you might not want to win the first one and lose in the finals, but it's a lot of people going into it were like, oh, this is just going to be an exhibition. It's going to be like an all-star game. Throw that all out the window. You put on that USA jersey or Canada jersey. Those guys are out for blood.
I want to tell Tom that if Canada does lose, you know who we're blaming, right? Your boy, Don Sweeney. He cannot put a team together. Tom Wilson. How about Tom Wilson left off
I was just
the
going to say that. How would you like? It would have been nice to line up Tom Wilson out there.
roster. He is only like leading the league in goals, right?
No.
No? Penalty minutes then. Something he's leading the league in,
they,
right?
they they're doing well, but yeah, he's a beast. They did the same thing in the they did the opposite. You figure it's in the junior tournament. They went all what they went. They tried to go with like a rougher lineup. But with the IIHF rules, which they call everything. This is pro rules, and they leave all the toughness home, and they come with all the skill. Doesn't make any sense.
There were a few guys that I was surprised weren't on the roster, even as alternates. That even the younger guys, some of the younger players, but I don't know if it's political to a certain extent. I don't know.
Well, they left off Logan Thompson. He's like, he's in the running for the Vezina Trophy, but they left him off because all the Vegas coaches, I mean,
Cast.
it was two different coaches. Neither one of them like him. So maybe it's something with his personality that they left him off the team. But where goaltending is one of their issues,
Sharpie.
I think you're going to try to bring them, at least the three best guys. You might not start them, but you might need them.
Yeah, how do you pick a guy who's under 500? Why would you pick him? Like, I was just not having a good year.
It's like, well, they brought Eden Hill. They brought Bennington, I think, because they won cups. So I guess they're a little like playoff proven. But that was years ago, you know?
Right.
Something that Don Sweeney didn't do right. So he's looking for guys that have the pedigree.
Jeez.
I was surprised that even with his older state that Patrick Kane was left off the roster. You would think that they would just kind of have him rostered just in case for, you know, certain nostalgia reasons or whatever. But, I mean, he still puts up semi points.
He's going to play the senior World Four Nations.
That's my boy, but he's not in the
playing the beer league next.
He shouldn't be there. How about Tayshaun Thompson? Going to use Tayshaun Thompson?
Yeah.
But guys like Ken Johnson and, Celebrini and those younger guys, they left those guys off the roster, too. They could have used some pedigree with those guys, right?
Well, that's their future. You might want to, I mean, these are exhibitions. I mean, the guys are all into it. But, I mean, to win, it's nice to win. But it's not like winning, like, the Olympics in, like, 2 years. Wouldn't you want to get those young guys already into this international play now? You want to win the Olympics. This is nice to win, but I'll take the gold medal over winning this.
Yeah, and the thing with the if you are a hardcore hockey fan, especially when the Olympics come around, the games are always at wacky times. So it's tough to watch those games sometimes, especially what was the last one, the Sochi, right? It was like all in the deep in the morning, like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. So it's tough when it comes to that stuff to watch.
That's like Canada tomorrow. Canada plays at 1 o'clock.
Yeah. It's a holiday, so they figure.
For us it is, but for Finland and Canada, it's not.
Next year, it's a holiday for Canada.
Next year.
Hey, do you see that guy? He had a Canadian jersey on. Said Trump on the back with 51. After that game, you think that guy lived? Every time I see any of those wild crowds like that, and the home team loses, I can't help it. But just because we've been to so many different places, to walk out of that building the way that those people were—they must have been pissed with those USA jerseys on. They must have been running to the car.
that goal that McDavid scored was nice, but Once he does that once, I think everybody knows the key on him. Manoah Hanifin was all over him that game, and they said that he hadn't even had a good tournament going in, you know, good run going into it. So he's kind of flat. So we'll see.
The guy that doesn't get any love because he's not really a superstar. He's just like a straight up defenseman slaving. That guy's a beast on the back end. Like, holy shit.
I know Gensel got player of the game, but man, he had a chance to have at least like 5 goals in that game. Yeah. He got snubbed a couple times. He hit like he took a one time hit the side of the net. It, you know, just inches away.
The guy that I was actually super impressed with, and he didn't even score, was Austin Matthews. Like two way, like defensively.
Yeah.
And, like you didn't even know that he really has that in him. I don't know if it was having the flag on the jersey or what, but he played a hell of a game.
Cool. He's playing for the bad mustache.
Yeah, he ain't playing for the hair, that's for sure.
Ferraro had said something during the game how people take his two-way play for granted because of all the goal scoring.
Yeah, I was impressed with him.
Thomas, you want to add anything before we...
That's it.
Well, we'll see Thursday, 8 o'clock on ESPN. So, let's go... Shift gears. We're going to our Rod Serling, our Twilight Zone, our Outer Limits. Bradford, we're going to the tinfoil hat. Thomas, take us in.
All righty. Brad's tinfoil hat conspiracy of the week is brought to you by the book Loving Elliot, a fitting tribute to undying love written by our very own Andy Clark. It's available on Amazon.com. Elliot was the oldest living special needs Jack Russell Terrier before he passed away at the age of 21.
Brad, you got to buy the blue book.
I didn't know there was a blue one.
Deluxe edition.
And I'm also kind of mad I know the author, but yet I never got an autographed copy. So, kind of weird.
Wow. Hit me right here, Brad.
And if you want that signed, you have to send it with 5 stamps on it so he can mail it back to you.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. Yeah. Hey, I want to get, but I want to get this graded too. I want to get it graded. So send it back to me with a mint condition grade, and then we'll talk. So I kind of gave it up to you guys. I think the consensus is this halftime show is not a whole lot to go into, because Ed had texted the group chat and he's like, hey, for the first time, we don't have a whole bunch of satanic worship, devil worship signs in the Super Bowl. And I was like, hold on, wait for it. But then like he didn't. So it was wild. Like there wasn't any, I haven't seen anything yet anyway of like anything along those lines. But the main thing, it's so many people have dissected this song since his release and the Super Bowl performance, but mainly for the boomers, since you guys couldn't understand what he was saying, I'm going to try to just hit on like the key points from Not Like Us. So you guys will know what he was doing. He basically called out the elitists for liking underage children on the world's biggest stage. And everybody was mad because it was boring. I was like, who cares if it was boring? This dude made a baller move. I'm just waiting for him to be taken out, you know, Tupac style or Biggie style. You know, they're gonna feud so bad that they get rid of him because he put everybody on blast. Because you know Drake's not the only one. There's no way, right? So in the song, it's pretty obvious. He says, "Say Drake, I hear you like him young. You better not ever go to Cell Block 1." Like it's obvious what he's saying. There's not even a double entendre there. Then he says to any bee that talked to him and they in love, just make sure you hide your little sister from him. I'm like, dang, it's like getting deeper. And then he says, they tell me Chubb's the only one. It's one of his acquaintances named Chubbs. He gets his hand-me-downs at like their Diddy parties or their Drake parties. And then his friend Baca got a weird case. Why is he around? Certified lover boy, certified fill in the blank. It was bleeped out on the Super Bowl performance. But Baca is in jail for, or being charged and investigated for, you know, doing things with a minor. And these are Drake's acquaintances. And like Kendrick Lamar is just like calling everybody out in this song. And then he goes on, he says the rabbit hole is deep. And I'm like, oh, he's a conspiracy theorist just like me. So we bonded on that. He says, what does OVO stand for? And he uses some derogatory language after that. But OVO, I had to Google this, is Drake's label. His company is called OVO. And you go, look it up. Guess what their logo is? It's a freaking owl, Andy. Who is one group we know of that does a weird meeting every summer in Bohemian Grove that worships a 30-foot owl, right? So weird when you start connecting the dots. Also, the owl is just like a the animal version or whatever of a pagan deity called Moloch, like, which is why they worship him in Bohemian Grove. It's like you worship the owl, you get famous type of thing. So he goes on and he says the predators move in flocks. So another bird reference to the owl, I thought was kind of connecting the dots there for everybody. And then he says the devil is a lie. He has 69 God. And I had to go ask some of my melanated friends what 69 God meant. And they basically said they're calling him like the opposite of God. Like he's calling Drake like a devil. And I'm like, well, if his company is an owl, and that's a pagan deity, Moloch, which is, you know, worshiping the devil essentially, then like, yeah, this dude's the devil. And then I was like, how true is like all this PDF stuff about Drake and being with minors? And you just go YouTube it, man. This is all over the place, especially with the chick from Stranger Things. He like,
yeah, Bobby Brown.
What's that?
Is that her name, Bobby Brown?
Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah. Her story is like, oh yeah, I was just like walking through the hotel and like I bumped into Drake randomly. I was like, that wasn't random. And then we became best friends and we talk about boys and relationships. I was like, that's weird. He's a grown ass man. Yeah. And there's a clip of him on stage with a 17-year-old and he's like saying, oh, my heart fluttered when I hugged you. Is it weird to say that? And I was like, yes. And the whole crowd is like cheering for him, dude. So weird. But I also thought it was interesting that going down this rabbit hole, I found out why we didn't get Lil Wayne, who is from New Orleans, to perform at the Super Bowl in New Orleans, is because Jay-Z is the one the NFL contracts out to pick the performers. Did you know this? Ever since they did the Kaepernick taking a knee thing, and all the equality and eliminate the hate slogans were popping up, and they wanted to be more inclusive and whatnot. They wanted their halftime shows to be more urban or whatever, to appeal to everybody. So they contracted Jay-Z to get these acts, and Jay-Z, for whatever reason, is the one that like hand selected Kendrick Lamar, which I thought was weird. But then I remembered he's going to put Kendrick Lamar out on stage to call out the biggest PDF in the industry. Because Jay-Z, if you go back to our conspiracy theory, we talked about this a while back with him and Beyonce, he's just an informant for the FBI and the feds. He's the one that turned in R. Kelly and Diddy. And now I think he's turning in Drake. He's just selling more people up the river to save his own skin. So it all makes sense once you think about it. Or to me, it makes sense. I don't know. But yeah, no devil worship stuff in the Super Bowl. So kind of took a lot of what we were going to talk about.
So how do we add to that, Bradford? What is it? The rabbit hole is so deep with this stuff, and it seems like when we all these subject matter is all intertwined, other than more than just the conspiracy tag, it's so. Is it one of those things that if this stuff ever is addressed? And these people are held accountable for these things. Is it just somebody else is going to take their place? What do
Oh
you
yeah.
think?
Oh, 100%, dude. And there's even celebrity or even musicians that have admitted to the shit that people just forget about. Steven Tyler literally wrote in his memoir, he wrote an autobiography where he said some parents gave him their 15, 16-year-old daughter to go on tour, but they signed a consensual waiver for it. I'm like, nope, still illegal. He wrote it and put it in his book and then sold it. It got zero consequence for that. Nobody even is calling him
It was the
out.
70s. It didn't count.
Bro, nobody's calling him a creep or nothing for it. They're just like, oh, it was Aerosmith, man. Yeah, times were different. I'm like, bro, what is going on? So one of them gets old and withers away. The next one steps up. It's
You
just,
hear
it's a
the same
constant,
thing about Jimmy Page, too.
yeah,
He's always
constant
that young
cycle.
kid
Oh,
to
yeah.
him.
Constant cycle, man. It's disgusting.
I did hear yesterday that the woman, or young woman who had the case against Jay-Z dropped charges and stuff or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably because she
And
didn't want to
Diddy.
die.
I'm sure there's a payoff or probably like not risking her life for it, I'm sure.
Where does it stop though? I mean, what is the I mean, what's the big fish that they're after? They haven't even really scratched the surface with doing anything other than detaining people for till further evidence.
Well,
Is
Diddy's
it
in jail, but I'm sure when they get done, when the feds get done with that, though, there's got to be some more arrests. There's got to be something added to that. Diddy was, he is the rabbit hole. Pun
Thomas,
intended.
what do you think overall is one of the problems with this whole thing? Is it not, they just don't want to go after celebrities or what do you think?
I think they're afraid to dig too deep because it's going to be a lot of names that they don't want out there and could be like you say, how high does it go? You never know.
So there might be a coworker or a boss involved they don't want to get in trouble with.
Brad, do you think that we know that it's been going on for a while, but do you think that it's one of those things where it's a combination of an initiation into, well, you're going to do this because then we'll always hold it over you if something ever goes sideways. Do you think it's gatekeeping, like somebody has to hold that strong and only let certain people through to the other side? Do you think it's a combination of other things? Do you think it's one big thing?
No, it's 100% gatekeeping and initiation. Like, maybe some of these dudes, it's like they know, like, hey, we know you like them young, but here's the deal. And and they get videos of it, and they get their evidence, so they can be like, you're gonna do what we want for the rest of your life, or we're gonna show this to the public, but we're gonna make you a star. You know what I mean? And there is the equivalent of selling your soul to the devil. And these dudes become megastars. Drake is a megastar. I was at a Mardi Gras party today, and this family had their three little girls on the road waiting for the floats to come down, dancing to Drake's music. And I was like, the irony, bro. The irony. Like, come on. But it's like Americans, we let musicians and celebrities get so big that we almost worship them. They attain this godlike status that we just forgive and forget when they do messed up shit, dude. Like Elvis Presley was a PDF. Dude had a thing for prepubescent women. Like once they got their period, he didn't want them anymore. He was that creepy. And people just refused to talk about that part of Elvis Presley because he was the biggest thing that we ever had, man. It's weird. It's super weird.
So do you think that people are finally getting to see the whole behind the curtain, or is it, do you think it's still people that'll just say, ah, it's tinfoil hat?
Now, I think social media helps a lot spreading the information because we're not the only podcast that's talking about Drake and the Kendrick Lamar beef. It's being not even just on Tinfoil Hat podcast, conspiracy podcasts. They're talking about it in music podcasts and hip hop and rap podcasts and music podcasts. Comedians are everybody's talking about it. Drake and this beef. It's the biggest thing, especially doing it the way he looked in the camera on the Super Bowl, as he said, Drake, you like him young. Yeah, and he did a little dance. Like that image is blown up. So I think social media helps getting people to like talk about it around the world, but I think there are still those folks that if I'm like, yo, you know that dude's a he likes them young. Like, should we not be letting your daughters dance to this at a Mardi Gras parade? They're gonna be like, oh no, that's you don't know what you're talking about. You know, go put your tinfoil hat on, man. Go sit in, people don't want to hear it, man.
What I've always noticed, and this is kind of like the brainwashing part of w pop music, especially now. You put on a pop music station, you hear those same four or five songs
Yeah.
multiple times over and over again. Whereas, yeah, you hear a lot of the same classic rock songs, but you don't hear the same classic rock songs in a morning trip five or six times. But these pop songs, they like brainwash you with like the words and the melodies. And I'm not saying that they're all, there's something wrong, but they like the same stuff over and over and over again. And to me, that's kind of a red flag with a whole corporate brainwashing on music in general. I mean, is there a dark message there? Not always, but still, it's like those same. If you have a workplace that plays a pop radio station on a rotation, you hear those same songs all morning. You can count them like three or four times. You hate the song, but you know the words, and it's like what is going on here? It's crazy. Anybody want to add to the tinfoil hat before we
I was gonna say, is that pretty much like the greatest diss track of all time now? Just the volume of the people that saw it. I mean, you got like No Vaseline, Hit 'Em Up, the Eminem stuff with Machine Gun Kelly. This is like off the hook, where it was like that was really like the only song that I know Kendrick Lamar sings. So I was kind of like, when he said he was coming out, I was like everybody else, like, oh man, is he gonna play the Drake song? And I was just getting, he was like teasing it. And then he took it to like the next level. He had like the ex-girlfriend have a singing a little pop. He had Serena Williams dancing. I'm like, this is like, everybody's like, this is the worst Super Bowl show of all time. And I'm like, this is awesome. I guess it all depends on if you're in the know or not. Like, I guess like a lot of the older people, like usually when they get an act for a Super Bowl, it's got to be somebody that's worldly, that has a good four or five songs that everybody knows, even if you're not a fan of them. But with him, I mean, he's got hits, but like I said, that's the only song that I know him for. And then when he played it, it was like, now that thing's like, you can't go through any kind of like reel or anything like that. That music's playing in the background and everything. So yep. he's making a zillion bucks. He killed his rival. I haven't seen shit on Drake. I don't know if he's even come out and I even saw a thing with Will Ferrell and on like SNL doing like a spoof on it. And that shit was hilarious too. Did you catch that?
No, I haven't seen that. I'm gonna go look it up though.
Oh, dude, you gotta look it up. He's like with some church lady, and then they're singing it like a cappella or whatever. And he said it word for word. They didn't edit out his stuff. It was A minor.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, Drake is buried. That's what he gets for being the cripple on Degrassi High.
That's right. That's right.
People forget. I don't forget.
I think it'd been more ironic if he's when I got the girl pregnant in the show.
He's not even a real rapper though. He's an industry byproduct. Like a producer saw him, he auditioned, he fit the mold. He doesn't write his own. He's already been accused of having a ghostwriter. He doesn't write his own songs. And he just gets pushed out. And I want to say, like, that's kind of what Tupac was. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Hey, speaking of Tupac, did you ever hear the story about him and Michael Jackson?
Boxing, right?
Tupac was going out with Quincy Jones's daughter. And they were at some kind of event. And I guess they're going to the car. And so Michael Jackson's there, Tupac, and Quincy Jones' daughter, which he's known for all these years because Michael Jackson has this long relationship with Quincy Jones. So Tupac and her are kind of going back and forth. And he's like disrespecting her, like, oh, get your ass in the car or whatever the hell he said to her. And then Michael Jackson steps up to Tupac and he's like, hey, don't talk to her like that. And he's like, what? Like, what are you going to do? And everybody like judges Michael Jackson by like how he looks like in the 80s with all the, but he grew up like with all those older brothers probably kicking his ass and in a rough part of town. And then they always say that like Tupac is actually really a little behind the scenes and it's all a fake. He's like a fake gangster that Michael yep. Jackson kicked his ass in front of everybody but nobody ever talked about it.
Yep.
Ooh. Fantastic.
I remember the Michael Jackson story, how he would tell a story about how, like, when he was a kid, his dad be like, go outside, pick out a switch. I'm going to hit
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah. Michael like, Jackson,
he would whoop that ass.
That's why he's messed up in the head, but
yeah.
He's probably, like, secretly tough. You don't even know it.
Well, maybe Michael Jackson could just, he was old enough to know who was fronting and who wasn't. You know what I mean? Just from growing up yep. with older brothers right. and stuff like
yeah.
that. Gary, Indiana.
Yep.
Thomas, yep. You want to close out the tinfoil hat?
I got nothing. I totally agree with everything he said. Drake's a douchebag.
And Canadian.
And Canadian.
Oh! Another Canadian took an L this week.
All right, so, Shaggy.
Yes, sir.
What do you got this week for closing out the show?
I think I'm going to give a shout out to my son, Caden. He's got accepted to Bridgewater State like his old man and mom did. He's transferred over there at the community college. So congrats to him.
Nice. Playing any sports?
I think he's going to do swimming or track, one of those.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So athletically gifted like the mother.
Exactly.
Brad, what do you got this week?
Hey, shameless plug for ProWrestlingTees.com. I don't know if you guys have been to their website. They sell a lot of wrestling merch, ProWrestlingTees.com. But they do one-off stuff. I bought a t-shirt from them, and they do like a limited run print. You can buy it once. Once it's gone, it's gone. And then they do like pre-sale for these little micro brawlers. So this came in the mail. Joe Hendry. I don't know if you can see it because the lighting. It's pretty cool. I'm stoked. I'm going to hang it up on the wall. Yeah, man, ProWrestlingTees.com. Check them out.
Thomas, what do you got this week?
Nothing personal, so I'll just say rest in peace to the man who played Rafterman in Full Metal Jacket. He passed away over the weekend, and he was 69, so that's always been one of my favorite movies. So ooh. Rest in peace, man.
Oh, it'll be in the queue pretty soon, Thomas.
Please.
I'll do a shout out. So my two kids have never ever in all their hockey journey been to a state hockey tournament. Not only do I have my son going for the first time, both teams that my daughter's playing on is going. It's like three straight weekends in a row. Hopefully somebody hangs a banner in some rink somewhere with their name on it. It'll be epic. That'll be fun to watch. So shout out to the two kids for bringing it home. Phantom, what do you got? Bring us home.
I'm up. Well, I might have like a dual shout out. First off, I'm going to shout out Brad for watching the hockey. Well,
Come on, Thomas.
when I see the little thing pop on the socials that Brad was watching some hockey, wanted to share with all the people of the South, I'm like, my man, let's go. So that brought a tear to my eye. I got all gassed up for that one. That was like the fourth fight right there. Another one we won. We'll take that one.
Yeah.
And then my second is going to be for my man Ed, giving American History X a 9.9. We boosted it up, an all-time movie. Not everybody's in the know. The fellas are kind of old. They saw the black and white. They might have been dozing off a little bit, missed some good shit. I think that pushed it up to at least a 9.0.
Listen, I want it recorded so that we can pregame for next week when Ed comes back in the fold, because he won't watch the podcast. So we have to hammer him and say you are the first guy to drop the ball in your own segment and not give us your movie review.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for Ed not to watch any of these movies because his TV's always on.
9.9. He
Did. He gave us a score, 9.9.
99, 99. The great one.
Thomas, don't screw up the algorithm like Brad did. Don't put down
Yeah, don't
9.9.
add that
So I guess we'll wrap it up another week. Start of season three. So I'll do another. I'll bring it back around with one last shout out. I'll do two. I want to thank the fellas going into year three. Fun. It's some weeks seems like work. Other weeks it just seems like it's just what we would always do just from afar. So credit to the fellas that show up. Credit to the guys that show up when they can. And that's your 2 years of the 1973 podcast. And we are on to year three. Later, everyone.
USA!